Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
Once again, we are joined by the vegan. Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
What was it that you had the other week? Vegan fish? No, veg. What was it you had?
What was it? A house that meant I couldn't be here last week?
No.
Paid work. You want the story about Greg's, don't you? You want the Greg story?
I'm sure there was something. Oh, yes. It was the Greg story. That was it. That was it. Go on.
Okay. So it's important we get some context here. I'd had a job in the morning and was just about to wrap up ahead of lunch and hadn't got any lunch. And there was a Greg's around the corner. So popped to the Greg's, got there, got inside. The place had already been ransacked by people getting their lunch before me. There was next to nothing there. The only option was actually the vegan option. So picked the vegan option up, took it to the counter. Unfortunately, it had to be heated, passed it over, then spent a few minutes just loitering with Greg's, in Greg's with everyone else that was waiting there. And then at the top of somebody's voice,
"One vegan!"
just came the words, "One vegan." I looked around hoping it might be someone else, realised it was me, embarrassingly walked to the counter, collected my sandwich and was on my way.
And as you walked out and left Greg's, everyone started singing, "Vegan, there's only one vegan, there's only one vegan."
And that's the point when I turned around and actually sort of shouted, "I'm not a fucking vegan." And then I sort of just sat in my car in shame and ate it.
And enjoyed it because it was vegan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't remember what it was.
Vegan pie.
Anyway, more Greg's chat next week.
Oh, on the next episode, whenever that is, because we are going to have a week off for Christmas and shit. So anyway, two games. One that I described, and I stand by it, that it was the most encouraging 45 minutes of football under Rooney, and that was the first half against Cardiff. And I stand... yes, the people said, look, even more encouraging than the Ipswich game. And for me, it was, because you could tell that we were going to keep up that, we could keep up that intensity and that system, that just that general style of play for 90 minutes, that it wasn't going to get to the 60th minute and then everyone was going to get shagged and we have to bring on the subs that can't keep up the same style of play. So yes, it was encouraging for me and the most encouraging. Then we've gone into the Leicester game, and to be honest with you, off the back of that now, I am genuinely not excited, but there's a lot of hope from what's happened. Now, I think a lot of it is going back. There was a lot of comments saying we've gone back to Eustace ball, we've gone to da-da-da-da. I think what we've actually done is we've wound it right back to the way that we were playing, or a very similar way, very similar style, made the players comfortable with it. And it's where we should have started off when Rooney first took charge. We've sort of gone, right, we're going to do this. Okay, right, that hasn't worked. We'll just go back to what we were doing. Oh, look how much better we look. Look how much more comfortable we look at the back. Look how much more comfortable we look on the ball. Then last night against Leicester, it looked as though players have, rather than being forced to play the possession game and play out from the back, that they were taking the choices. If you want to play out from the back, you can. That's how it looked. I don't know if that conversation has happened, but there were times where, you know, it was a bit risky to play out from the back, but they did. But they looked comfortable doing it. They didn't look panicked. There were a few passes that were like fans around me that went, "Oh, fucking hell, that was risky." But the players look comfortable. That doesn't happen overnight. It's happened, in my opinion, that something's gone on there and they've gone, if you're comfortable, try it. They talked about it the other week about saying we're scrapping, playing out from the back and putting that pressure on them. So I can't imagine that's come back into play. It's more a, if you are comfortable, go for it. And they did look more comfortable. And when you're not under that pressure, difference that it makes. That's my opinion. That's my take on it.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in in a couple of fairly decent performances. You said most of the sort of stuff that's been on my mind the last couple of games anyway. They look like they're far more comfortable in this system. He's gone to something that suits the players, most of the players. He's playing a system that's, as you say, similar, but with tweaks and with slight changes, which is what he should have done in the first place. It's what we said before they'd even kicked a ball under Rooney, that things didn't need to change dramatically. It just needs to be a few. You know, okay, it's a slightly different formation with this 4-3-3 rather than a 4-2-3-1, but he uses Buchanan in almost like a highly advanced role where he's got him almost playing as a fourth attacker in some occasions, which is very similar to how we played with Laird on the other side when he was fit. So that lopsided sort of defence, which, you know, we'd spoken about previously. The press from the front is obviously quite, it's far more aggressive, and they play with a fairly high line, which, you know, was interesting last night, I thought. Maybe a little bit naive. Obviously doesn't help that you want the centre midfielders to push so far forward when they're not all as energetic as each other as well. But it's nice to see he's actually found something that seems to be working for all of them. And it is just playing to their strengths. And he could have done this, as we say, weeks ago, and we probably could have had a few more points on the board. But it has given me a little bit more hope, same as you, going into these next few games. And I think if we look at the Cardiff game first and foremost, it was, I think, the opening couple of minutes of that game. Obviously, everybody had the same thought when they saw Mark Roberts in the lineup and just thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. And I think literally his first pass was a 50-yarder diagonal ball to a Cardiff fan. And I thought that here we go. This is it for the rest of the game. But actually, he was fucking superb.
Yeah. I am going to say, actually, on that diagonal pass, one worked last night. He played an absolute beauty out to the left hand side.
And it was Buchanan, wasn't it? I think Buchanan.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, that was quite early on as well. It was very similar, actually. But yeah, it was.
You actually saw Roberts. You could see it in him. He was just like, yes!
and actually, his distribution in general was fairly decent last night. His and Sanderson's, they played it simple when they needed to. They didn't overplay it, and they just let it go when they had to let it go. There's quite a few nice balls into the midfield as well. When Bielik was making himself available as well and turning and, you know, just bringing other people into play. More on him later. But for the most part, thought played really well in both games, or played pretty well in both games. Just think a combination of Leicester's just obviously pure class and maybe us being a little bit naive and should have been probably, I don't know what the word is, we probably should have been a little bit more cautious with the way we were trying to cope with them and their pace and their skill, and they kind
maybe
of,
having a little bit of fear.
Yeah, it would have been would have negated a goal or two. So I just think we left ourselves far too open.
A little bit of fear football.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Almost no fear.
Almost no fear football. Yeah.
But it's. I think for the most part, it's positive. And the good thing is we've still got some really good players to come back as well. And plus, we don't know what we might do in the window. I'm assuming there's going to be a couple more additions, if you like to think so. We kind of played it down a little bit, but I think they will bring players in and a few players go out. But it's I'm feeling better than I did last time we had a podcast. I'll be honest, the last few times, because you can actually see what they want to do now. And
that brutal night of football that you were on about, or brutal night of sport, football and American football that you mentioned last week.
It was actually far more palatable than I expected, yeah. So it was good performance by Blues and a win for the Seahawks, which is a last minute job. But that was pretty good. I am moderately tired today after that as well, but... Last day of work tomorrow, so no, don't have to worry too much.
I'm not going to lie. I had a couple of beers last night. I noticed. With the Twitter arguments.
Just wanted a Twitter war with people,
I don't get... I just don't understand COV fans. And I think it was... I don't know who the other one was. Forrest or someone.
I
don't understand.
Fan that you were, I think it was on the wind-up as well, but he was...
Was it a Leicester? No, it wasn't
all,
someone
it was
who said...
faceless people, wasn't it? That
yeah, yeah. Called me a bald his. Bastard or something. I was like, yeah.
Bald, ugly yeah. fucker, I think it was or something.
Was that what it was? Yeah. I mean... I genuinely don't care that I've got no hair. So I don't know that. Like, grow up, prick. Actually, cunt, I think. I stand by it.
Beers and
I've forgotten where we were going with it. Had a few beers last night. A couple with Brummy Joe. Shout out to the Half Pint King. He's loves a half pint. He's not just... really big as a giant. I'm still pissed. Fuck it.
It sounds like you had a couple of drinks, got overly emotional about being bald, and
I'm gonna start rambling now. I think I topped my liver up from the weekend, the Christmas party, and it tipped me back over the edge, because when we were 3-1 down, I actually stuck a fiver on Blues to win. And I know.
Chris, have you not learned anything?
I know. I genuinely
when the
think
fun
I got,
stops.
But it was fun. I genuinely believed it for a little while as well. I don't know why I did it. Don't. Betting's not big or clever. Don't do it.
More betting tips with Chris next week.
Betting and drinking is not a good combination. I don't think.
No. Well, I felt pretty sober. Obviously wasn't. So anyway, the performances were much improved. Shall we listen to some 15 second opinions? Is this a good,
yeah, let's see what
good point to do
say,
it?
Actually. Yeah.
15 second opinion.
Hi lads, two good performances against Cardiff and Leicester. Dare I say, is it starting to click? One of two things will happen now. We'll either go on a little bit of a run and start picking up more points, or we'll come crashing back down to earth after getting smashed by Plymouth and Stoke. But whatever happens, we'll keep right on.
Hi guys, a few more positives coming out from last night's game and from Wednesday's game against Cardiff. Not many teams put two past Leicester. I think we're the only second team that have done it this season. So again, more positives. A few more easy games coming up, I think, so we can get a few more points on the board. I think we'll be safe this season quite easily. And then obviously the transfer window coming up, interesting how they can improve the squad. And moving on into the summer. Things are looking up. Cheers, boys.
Morning, lads. So, since Rooney came in, I've been pretty downbeat about Blues. Tried not to be, but it just never looked like it was going to come together until the last couple of games. Last night, I thought we played really well. The system works. We just need some players back. And JJ looks like a new player under Rooney, in my opinion. He's really brought out the best of JJ. But unfortunately, Dembele and probably Bakuna as well just aren't seeming to click. I'm looking forward to having Anderson and Tyler Roberts back, because I can see them really playing well in this system. So for me, in January, a couple more loans and we should be sound.
Hi gents, Alex Hurley from Sutton Coldfield. A lot of people seeing green shoots of recovery and things are getting better. The last few games, and to be fair, three out of the last four we've been a little bit better, but not brilliant, and still conceding for fun. The big test, I think, is these next three games. He's got to be looking at taking minimum of 4 points, probably 5 or 6. If we don't achieve that, we're no further forward than we have been, and then I start to really worry that the wheels are going to come off. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Keep right on.
Hiya, Chris. Hiya, Matthew. Happy holidays to you and your loved ones. Will Heatley here, American Blue Nose. Saw the game against Leicester yesterday. Thought we played relatively well for the majority. Obviously, we are vulnerable in defence with Laird and Drame being out for an extended period, and we saw that reflected in the way that Leicester countered yesterday. Although, to be fair to our performance, I thought the result didn't necessarily reflect how we played. We definitely deserved at least a draw from that. Jordan James is absolutely fantastic, and he's continuing to develop. We're seeing what Wales fans are seeing as far as what he's capable of. If he's allowed the freedom to dictate play in the middle of the park, I think Bielik playing a little bit deeper probably would have made our back line a little bit more firm and prevented some of those counter-attacking bits of play. But Leicester should have also been playing down to 10, maybe even 9 men with some of their decisions last night that didn't go in our favor. But the next 3 games, I think, are very winnable. I see us realistically getting 7 points from the next 3. I think that if we play like we did against Leicester, then that's more than realistic for us over this festive period. Thanks, guys. Happy holidays to you both, and we'll talk soon.
Happy holidays to us both, but not to you, vegan, because Americans don't like vegans either.
No, they also don't like time, do they, either?
Just moves at a different rate. I'm sure it was an American before that left one that was the 15-minute opinion.
15-minute opinions.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Very valid opinion and a lot of good points, actually, which we'll get into some of these, I think.
Well, I think the first thing to mention that was mentioned just was the potential of them going down to 9 men. The tackle on, well, let's mention first the celebration that was that he got a booking for. If the ref hadn't have booked him there for that celebration, he gets booked for diving. Mm-hmm. In my opinion,
yeah, I agree.
It's only because of that booking that he hasn't done it. Well, I'm not going to send him off for diving.
Thing is, he was walking a tightrope all game because it was a couple of challenges he put in where we've seen players booked for less, so he probably could have gone. What an arsehole, by the way, with the regards to just like jumping into the home end.
Yeah, it'd have been interesting to have seen whether he'd done that if it was full down there.
Yeah, I mean, clearly he wouldn't have done that, would he?
Wow.
If it had been full, but I mean, maybe he's not an arsehole, maybe he's just a brave motherfucker. But I was just, when I first realised what he was doing, I was just like, Christ, could you just, you've seen this before, you know, when QPR, Jack Grealish, you've seen these things happen before. I was very surprised that nothing happened, actually.
There was one or two that got down to the front and to the advertising boards at the side, and I think then maybe thought better of it, and the players had gone at that point. The funniest
Harry
part
Winks
of it
tried pulling
but
away.
that was do you know what, that I was just pissing myself because, and like, I wasn't so much angry about what was going on, I was pissing myself at the way that he was like, no, stop. Because I thought that was actually quite comical that he'd seen it and shit himself. He was like, no.
Harry Winks, what a player. Really good. But anyway.
Well, a Premier League squad.
The whole team, actually.
Essentially, yeah. That one could have been 2 bookings, probably should have been 2 bookings, didn't happen. And then the challenge on Buchanan that I had, from where I was standing, you couldn't actually see that it was a terrible challenge.
Well, on TV, first time, when I just thought it was, I just thought Buchanan had gone down. I didn't think it was a foul. It was only when they showed the replay a couple of times, I was like, oh Christ, that was actually probably, very least it should have been a yellow card. But I've, again, seen players sent off for less.
VAR turns that into a red.
in real time, it didn't look like a booking. And I mean, the referee wasn't even that far away, which was quite surprising because, given how close he was, he should have been able to see that. And
it could be about angles, though. And I'm always in the, because I don't think he even gave a free kick, did he? I think he
didn't give a free, no, yeah, didn't. And but when I looked at it, I didn't think, when I watched it live, live at TV, it didn't look like a free kick to me either. It was only when they start showing replays that actually it looked far, far worse than it actually was.
Did the commentators say it was a...
Yeah, they all agree. I don't think they... I mean, it's Don Goodman, so you kind of take whatever he says with a pinch of salt because he's an idiot. But they said, basically, it's, oh, he's a very lucky boy, basically, sort of comment, as they all kind of say without sort of giving... sort of almost sitting on the fence, but... yeah, I mean, they kind of said afterwards that he should have probably been booked or sent off, but without actually saying it. You know how they seem to frame stuff. So yeah, he got off really, really luckily.
I think having watched it back, my first thought was actually seeing it back was that VAR turns that into a red card. I don't think that's let go. Depending on which incompetent referee you've got that's working on VAR, obviously, because you know that's up and down. It's a roll of dice, isn't it, sometimes? But generally I think that's a red card. But we can't look at that and say, not many people are, to be fair, that we would have got more from the game if that hadn't happened. I mean, if those two had been sent off, of course we would have, we definitely would have got more from the game because they were causing so many problems. I really think we would have done. But you can't dwell on it. It's happened. There are people out there who don't want VAR. Then that's what you get. Situations like that where it doesn't get overturned and it can't do so. And you can't have it both ways. But it is what it is. Part of the game, isn't it, at the moment?
Yep. Disappointing. But I mean, actually, outside of those few things, the referee, I thought, actually was all right. I didn't think he was too bad. Obviously, they can be quite crucial moments, but he kind of let the game flow for the most part. And actually, you didn't really seem to notice him too much.
No. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he was maybe at the wrong angle because he was behind Buchanan and Fatawu. And then, of course, don't forget that there's how many diddies are there? He's a scumbag. Anyway, don't forget, he was on a yellow at the time that he dived. The ref had a great view of it, clearly saw it, just didn't want any part of it. And he scores the third. So it's one of them. I've got a bit of, not sympathy, but I can allow the red card for the angle, maybe, without scrutinising it too much. But the dive for me was a definite one. And then he scored the third one, which turns out to be the winner.
The killer. I thought it was pretty much game over at that point. Some of the comments on there. I was a little bit taken aback by the Dembele and Bakuna comments. One thing we need to remember about Bakuna is that all the time, and this is with Rooney and it's with previous managers, he's played in about, how many positions has he played in? 10, right back, centre midfield, left wing, right wing. I think people forget.
No, that's not happening yet.
don't start that because it could happen. We have to remember that he's being used in multiple positions and probably are playing in off the left isn't his best position. I thought he played quite well against Cardiff. We said before he's a frustrating player, but you put up with it, or you try to put up with it, because you do get moments of magic, which then let's talk about his finish against Cardiff, which was that happened in slow motion for me, and I thought he'd fucked it originally. I was like, what do you do? I just hit it first time. Obviously, he took it over the keeper. That keeper's terrible, by the way. And then obviously just fooled the defender and just knocked it in from about a yard out. Absolutely beautiful.
But virtually walked it in.
Yeah, literally. But that was, I think even Rooney mentioned something after the game. Like, he was like, did wonder like what the hell he was doing. But he says, he referred to Bakuna as the most talented player in the squad. So if Wayne Rooney's calling you that, and Wayne Rooney, it's all about this front foot, wants players to be creative, the shackles are off sort of stuff. Bakuna's going to be in that team one way or another for the most part. Now, I would probably like to see him in more of a central role, but and I think that might happen at some point as well, because he does put a bit of a shift in. People like to call him, I've seen people call him lazy before, but that's nonsense, because we've seen the work rate he can get through. And then just before, you say something, because
I was going to say there, you said about putting Bakuna into a more central position, a central position that got quite a bit of criticism last night. I thought unfairly so. Bielik, I think he's, for me, clearly been, he's either been asked to do a job that he is struggling to do, and the press and the possession side, the press is affecting his possession style of play, and he's the good side of his game to an extent, and we're not seeing the best of what he can do with the ball because of the stuff that he's not doing without it.
See, I'm kind of like on. So he's not a box-to-box midfielder, and Rooney is basically trying to use him as a box-to-box midfielder. I think this is the problem. Really, he needs to be, and you kind of alluded it to there, almost that libero type role in front of the defence that, you know, takes the ball from the defenders and, you know, distributes it to the other midfielders or the front players or to the fullbacks. The box to box side of it, the press side of it, is causing him issues, because when he's got the ball, he's actually all right. I think Leicester, he was like 85-86% passing success rate from about 40 or 50 passes or something like that. I think it's 45 passes. So he's using the ball fairly well. The problem is, because they're trying to utilize him further up the pitch when we've got the ball, or when we want to try and close them down or try and nick the ball, he's being left out of position. And that, he's not the quickest, so he's not going to turn and chase players down. He did try yesterday with that first one. But he's also, then he needs to be further back, because those centre-backs need a little bit of protection as well.
Yes.
Bielik is good at what he's good at, but if you're going to ask him to try and do box-to-box type stuff and, you know, be energetic, you're not going to get the best out of him. It's going to leave him exposed, and it's going to leave the centre-backs exposed as well. That is a key issue. We've kind of spoken about that last week, I think, when we were talking about it as well.
Yeah. I think for me, the sort of reference is, and I thought of this while I was pissed last night, so the reference is that you're asking a Tyler to do the labourer's job and then do his own job. So he's a good Tyler. He's a very good Tyler. But if you get him to Tyle after he's done...
Like Tyler Roberts.
No. Better than Tyler Roberts.
Tyler Blackett.
Much better than Tyler Blackett.
Any other Tylers you can think of?
Swift?
Probably. Not Tyler. She's more of that. She makes clothes, isn't she?
Better than Steven Tyler.
I mean, you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler.
There we go.
So,
he's just
the best Tyler. He's the best Tyler.
We've talked about Tyler Lockett,
but Tyler Durham.
Oh, maybe he's not the best Tyler. Anyway, he. So he's a very good Tyler. But when, okay, let's say he's a roofer instead. Not Tyler. So he's a very good roofer.
I don't think I've got a go-to roofer.
but when you ask him to do the labouring, taking the tiles up to the roof, then when he's doing both jobs, he's not a very good roofer.
So he's not Tyler the Creator then, though.
He's not Tyler the Creator. Fuck's sake. Anyway, yeah. You're basically asking him to do a job that he's not very good at, and it's affecting the job that he's good at. That's my take on it. So there you go.
I get where you're coming from, but I'm sure there's a better way of...
I'm not sure there is. I think that might be the best way of describing it. If anyone's got any suggestions on a better metaphor for Christian Bielik and the job he's doing and the job that he should be doing, please send it in to us.
And if not, you'll be sending him to work on a building site near you soon.
No, Dave, it's a metaphor. A metaphor.
It's a shame.
It's like you're a metaphorical vegan.
It's a shame because he's technically obviously a very good footballer, and you know he can, when he's at his best, he'll protect the defence, he'll spray the ball around, he can essentially almost dictate the pace of the game. But Rooney's looking for somebody with more energy, or what he wants more energy from him, and I just don't think you're going to get it.
Oh, I'll get this. Hello.
Wishing you a very merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Santa. Well, there's a surprise.
Santa, who's the best Tyler?
Oh.
I'm still going with Liv Tyler.
Christian Bielik, of course. Oh.
That was dreadful.
I just got shouted at, don't wake her up.
Brilliant. So spoke about Bielik there. So yeah, maybe obviously we spoke Bakuna potentially in that more central role.
Dembele.
And then on to Dembele, yeah. I mean, he created the goal against Cardiff. He played his part in the first goal against Leicester.
Although on that point, can I just put in and say, what a pass from Sonjić, who, you know, can't pass.
It was very unexpected, I'll say. Lovely turn by Jordan James as well.
Yep.
The Dembele thing, obviously, he's playing on the right side of midfield, or that sort of right of the front three. He's, by his own admission, has said he doesn't like playing there, but he's willing to do it for the team. He prefers to play in from the left, cut inside, which I think that's where we see him at his most effective, or through the middle. But he's been involved in a couple of goals, you know, since he's played on the right-hand side. So I don't really subscribe to the view that it hasn't really clicked for them. I'm sure he'll change stuff as things go on. So I think that was maybe a little bit harsh. I think the biggest issue for us, and we've already said it, is it at the moment, Bielik looks the most uncomfortable when he's out of possession, when we're out of possession. And that is obviously putting a little bit of pressure on the defence as well.
But that style, getting him to play in that way, does fit very much with the no fear football. Maybe it should be a little bit of fear football.
Moderately fearful.
Just have your wits about you and don't go completely. I mean, there's clips from last night showing that we were trying a 6v5 overload to press them. That did leave us open at the back.
Well, every time they attacked with pace, they always had one man over us. And we were quite lucky on a few occasions where they just didn't find that unmarked man, because it maybe could have been punished a little bit more for just being so open. And you don't really associate counterattacks with Leicester, but it is just another like tool in their arsenal, I guess, or another weapon in their arsenal that, you know, they can hit people on the counter like that because they've got the pace and the quality to do it.
And as much as we're saying to maybe allow Bielik to drop out of that press and sit there and be more of a screen, you know, that last night, would it have made a huge difference with the pace that they've got? Potentially not anyway, because the defence struggled to keep up with them.
I think if he's sitting a little bit further back, they've got one more line to maybe one more body to deal with, and when your defensive line is so high though,
like, and they get caught out and they can't catch them up, is Christian Bielik going to be able to keep up and play his part when they're trying to pass through? Absolutely. On those counter-attacks, when they're on the halfway line, maybe not.
So we sort of touched on the defensive side of play there. Let's have a little bit of chat around the way we tried to keep the ball, move the ball forward. I thought against Cardiff, we were probably a little bit more pragmatic than I was expecting. I was expecting Cardiff to be the ones that sort of sat back, or Cardiff to sit back, but actually they sort of knocked the ball around quite nicely as well. They had more of the ball than I thought. But against Leicester, there seemed to be a real sort of patterns of play developing, and the way we moved the ball forward was with real purpose, and it was quite nice to see, certainly against a team like Leicester, who are used to having the lion's share of possession. So I don't know what you thought. Obviously, we've spoken about we can actually see progress, etc. But with us wanting to move forward and evolve into this sort of possession-based team, I just sort of see what you guys were thinking about what you saw over the last couple of games as well.
For me, the Leicester game, obviously, a few beers we've mentioned, but it was exciting stuff. Like, and we could actually, there was encouragement there. You could see passages of play that we were creating, openings, working the ball. I think from the back, like I mentioned earlier, I think they looked more comfortable moving the ball around, and definitely. I don't think that's a forced thing. I assume that it's a, if you're comfortable, do it, because they looked very comfortable. It just looked more natural, less forced. And that going forward then, I mean, even Sonjić was, like we said, playing that ball to JJ, but Sonjić's stats were not far off Bielik's. Which
is about 80, I think he had a higher pass completion rate than Bielik, didn't he? I think he was about 88 or something, I'm not sure.
Less passes though,
less,
I think.
Less passes.
Yeah. So, but if you're saying you've got Sonjić's game with the high energy, the high press, and he can make himself, let's say by Bielik standards, a poor Bielik level with the ball. Mm-hmm. And he can do that consistently, then there's a place for him in this team. If he can consistently play like he did last night, Bielik, we want an improvement from in that passing possession side of the game, from what it was, because that wasn't his best last night. Yeah, the stats weren't up there, but he wasn't so much looking for the ball so much, and didn't look as confident with it. But you mentioned JJ. I've said in the past, didn't think that he looked like he had a role. He really does look like he's finding that role now. And on the ball, he's involved in a lot of the stuff that we're doing going forward. Mm-hmm. Whether that's, it was mentioned in 15 second opinions or 15 hour opinions from some of them. But it was mentioned in there that he's really coming along under Rooney. I'm not sure whether it's just that he's maturing as a player, he's finding his feet, he's finding a role, and it's from that he has been one of the better performers under Rooney. But it sort of coincides with what's gone on with his international as well in Wales. He's that's where it's really broken through.
As we said before, didn't we? If there's one player that had looked like he'd developed or progressed, it's him. And where everyone else, well, a couple of weeks ago, we thought had gone backwards. What we really need is someone that can, is a bit like Leicester yesterday, is just have someone that can take that ball confidently, turn and spray the ball about or drive forward. Or we need more players to be able to do that. Sonjić hasn't really got that in his locker. James has. But we need someone that can sit there, take the ball from the defence, turn and just drive at players. And I think like Bakuna could do that, but I think you also want someone that's maybe a little bit more industrious and can offer a little bit more protection as well. So we've been linked to Max Baird, who would have played with Bielik, and Rooney would know from his time at Derby. I think he's out of contract next summer. Which means he might be available for a cut price deal in next month. Because say January, it's not very far away now, so you never know what might happen there. But
couple of weeks,
we're crying out for another technical midfielder that is got some drive and energy about him.
It's certainly be a useful addition. I wonder whether they might be interested in a potential swap deal to get some wages off.
I don't know if they're in that sort of position to be able to do that, to be fair.
Well, no, but if anyone's going to take wages off for a percentage of what's being paid at the moment, who knows? I don't know too much about Max Baird, to be honest with you. I've read bits about him that he's good on the ball, another player who's got high energy.
Could be the next Louis Sibley, this kid.
We saw how well that went.
They might throw him in for free. I don't know. Never know. Well, he's too busy at killing it for Real Madrid at the moment, isn't he? So he's probably not got enough time to swing by Birmingham. I mean, let's be honest, whoever they go for, whether it's someone like Max, whether they try and get a cut price deal for Max Baird, or they look for Premier League loan. You know, I tell you what, someone like, I'd be interested to see. I'm not a big advocate of always doing this. See if Hannibal was still available, potentially. You want someone with energy, someone that's actually technically quite good. Thinking what Rooney might be able to get out of him. I mean, I'm not really having it's a bit of lazy thinking, to be honest, because we've had him on loan previously, but I wouldn't be surprised to see someone else like that can offer that amount of energy, as well as being technically competent as well. It's obviously two prerequisites for this formation. Sorry, my cat is like circling around the desk and it's pissing me off. He's really distracting me. So,
cats are bastards. I've got no time for cats. What about you, Vegan?
I had a cat. I don't anymore.
Of course, you nearly ate it, and finally decided that you wanted to become a vegan.
You still have a cat. Don't have a cat anymore. How many cats have you got, Matthew?
I just have the one.
Now, when you add that to how many your family has got?
Four kids, a dog.
We're not including my mum's cats in this conversation. We haven't got that long.
Right, no one cares about cats. Anyway.
Cat chuffs.
Anyway, yeah. Let's.
Even people with cats don't like cats. So. You finished?
You know that microphone yes. very nearly went.
Talking now. Right, carry on.
January transfer window is coming up.
Yes.
Where do you think we need to strengthen?
I think we've spoken about it before, actually. So I don't, without going over old ground, I think centre midfield is key, as we've already spoken about. I think you're probably looking at another forward because he's obviously, it was quite surprising to see Scott Hogan come on first out of the strikers yesterday, although I think he only touched the ball once. We need someone else to take the strain off Stansfield. He puts himself about, but he looks very stressed at the moment that he's not getting those chances, and he's coming deep quite a lot. We've had the conversations about Duke previously.
I'm going to just stop you there as well, because this is rumour, and I don't know how much truth there is in it. But there's talk that Ipswich are keen on Stansfield in a permanent deal, and that Fulham are keen to recall him in January, which would be shit.
He signed an extension, like I think it's like a 5-year deal in the summer. Before he joined us, I'm not buying that. I don't think I'm buying that.
We'll see what happens with that one. But
there was dogs coming. This is ridiculous. Yeah, I don't buy that one. I don't think. I think you'd have to get all parties to agree on that as per a season long loan. So, and then we probably need to go after two strikers, and that just put us in. Yeah, there's just too much stress, I think, for us. The other positions, I'd be inclined to look at centre-back and goalkeeper as well. We're not going to get all of those positions, and you'd probably better waiting for goalkeeper. I guess it depends, because I think they could quite easily move on Etheridge if they brought another goalkeeper in as a succession plan. But
or, suggestion for you, goalkeeper on loan that's likely to be available in the summer.
Yes.
I don't know who, but if you could get something lined up like that where you can try before you buy.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I quite like Arthur, I think it's Orinoco or Onkoro, I fucking butchered that one. At Wrexham.
You're good with names, aren't you?
yeah, really good. He's on loan at Wrexham from Arsenal at the moment. I think I may have mentioned him before. He was one that I think I may have brought up during the, probably thought John Ruddy might have been going to Luton. But I actually think if they're going to be a little bit more sensible around playing around at the back and not involving him so much, and then, you know, if in doubt, kick it out when they are under pressure, a goalkeeper is probably less of a focus now. They can worry about that in the summer. So yeah, and a centre back, I think, like, I'm still not convinced by Ayew, and you know, when Kevin Long's coming back, Mark Roberts is doing pretty well at the moment, but you know, he hasn't managed to stay fit for the past few seasons either, so we don't know how long he's gonna continue. And if he goes down, you know, we might be in a little bit of trouble, because we're obviously down a few defenders at the moment. So it'd be interesting to see what they decide to do. But they've got to make moves, and I think they'll move a few players out, and they'll definitely bring a few players in. I would imagine we'll start to see more and more stuff sort of leaking out and being linked to different players over the next few weeks.
Oh. Do you want to get this one?
Okay. Go on then. Hello?
Luckily, Bull.
Oh, it's a little visit from Nikola Zilic.
Zilic, who
it
is
it wouldn't be
best.
Christmas without
who
Nikola Zilic.
Zilic is a roofer, isn't he? Not a tiler, so...
Oh, Christian Bielik.
Oh, hang on. That was Zilic on the phone.
Zilic doing his best Santa impression.
I think I've just given the game away. If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys.
Okay, gents, we're heading into the festive period. Run of games ahead of us, beginning with Plymouth away this weekend. What do we think?
More hopeful now. So the one thing that I didn't mention when we were talking about the Leicester game, and I put it out on Twitter, it's the first time since Rooney's taken over that I stood there and applauded. It felt like the team, the whole team, and the manager and the management team deserved clapping off the pitch. It's the first time that I felt that they deserved it and that it warranted it. And I stood there until they'd gone and clapped. And my arms ached. And I've got that little bit of hope now that things are going to move forward. And
yeah, well, if you look at the 15-second opinions that we've had in this week, they've all largely been positive about where things are going.
Not everyone.
Most.
Some people sceptical, and a few comments saying it's all going to go tits up over the festive period now when we get smashed by Plymouth and Stoke. But, I mean, would it be typical Blues? Probably, arguably. But I'm more confident now with that last couple of games. I'm more confident that we can go into the games getting a result. Now, Plymouth lost their manager. Chewy, you mentioned earlier that they've lost their manager to
Stoke City, who
we've got next up.
Our opponents after Plymouth. It'll be interesting to see how they cope with that, because I think their whole coaching staff is gone. So whether it's a caretaker internally or someone else that comes in, they're not going to have particularly long to work with them. So you assume they'd kind of keep things fairly similar. But I think they're sitting just above us or just below us in the table with very similar record to us as well, I think.
Exactly level with won the same, drawn the same, lost the same, and we've just conceded 5 more goals. So, or not scored as many, one or the other. The goal difference is off by minus five. Their form recently as well is very hit and miss. Won one, lost one, drawn one. So up and down.
Their home form is excellent though. Very, very good, their home form.
But no manager, no management team, or whoever's coming. Do we know who's coming? They've got a caretaker or someone in, surely, haven't they?
Yeah, it's going to be somebody internally. I haven't looked that far into it. I spent more time looking at the Stoke announcement. So, but I mean, we've seen how they are a good team. We've seen them score. I think they beat Norwich 6-2, and you know that they. I think they in their last game out, they scored 3 against Rotherham. Okay, Rotherham bottom 2, but you know we struggled against them. Probably should have been beaten by them. Actually, it's a tough one to call because you know we're going. Our players developing. You could say they're kind of more of their style of players more developed, but they've got the unrest now of losing their manager, who did a very, very good job for them, got them promoted, and they played fairly well at our place. That said, we might have a couple of players back for that, or might have a player or two back. Not that I don't expect them to start. I would
I think it'd go the same, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And you'd be hoping for a very similar performance as the one we got from Leicester.
So, and I've just to put in there, I've looked for it. Director of football Neil Dewsnip and first team coach Kevin Nantskvil are taking charge for Plymouth. So, no goalkeeping coach, no first team coach. So, makeshift management team. There you go.
One thing we have to watch with these guys, as we saw in the home game, is they are very, very quick as well. They pass the ball well. They could hit it on the break a lot like Leicester did as well. Need to watch out for that. Need to be a little bit smarter about the way we defend. But I'm confident. I think based on the last couple of performances, things are coming together, and I think we can win. Was it 2-1 at home or was it 1-0? I remember Jay Stansfield scored like the 96th. Yeah, we're going to win. Jay Stansfield is obviously going to score against Plymouth again, isn't he? So
it at Plymouth.
Yeah, so I'm going for 2-1. What's 2-1? To lose.
Oh, you're going for a 2-1.
Yeah.
Repeat. Do you know what?
He's going to do it again, isn't he?
You're going to put a bet on at 60th minute.
Not going to get. I might do it while I'm drunk.
Four nil.
No, I'm not getting back into that. Yeah. Realistically, if we play the type of football that the players that we've got, the attacking players that we've got, can produce, we can score goals. Can we not concede goals?
See, this is my problem with this game, because I think we will concede. I think Plymouth they can implement a style of play that could probably hurt us, and we might live dangerously a little bit. Cardiff weren't really like that, so we could afford to not have the amount of protection there against them, because they didn't do much with the ball despite having a fair bit of it. Plymouth, I think, they can score goals. You know, they're very good at home. So whatever happens, I think I'm expecting us to concede. But I do think we'll get something from the game.
Yes, we will. We're going to win. And it's a no fear for 3.
Oh, my God.
What a game. It'll be talked about for centuries.
Or at least on the EFL Championship on ITV4.
That was a lovely view of your cat's arsehole there.
Yeah, he's going to get kicked up the arsehole in a minute. And I'm not in a Kurt Zuma kind of way. Can you just get off the heat down there until I'm ready? He's worse than the children. Right. It's actually worse than the children. Children have only been in once during this. Now the dog is resting his face on my leg. Like, the cat's back again. I'm going to have to start wrapping this up before I...
Is that a Christmas pun?
Animal. Yes, there we go.
Right, vegan.
Matthew Elliott. Who was that guy that could attract animals?
Dr. Steve Irwin.
Well, I don't think it was one I had in
mind. Dr. Doolittle.
Dr.
Doolittle. I just said Dr. Doolittle. Did nobody hear me?
Dr. Doolittle, friend of the animals. 1-0 Stansfield.
Nice. Up after that, then, Stoke. with Stoke's squad, Plymouth's manager.
Stephen Schumacher. See, their strap line for him joining the club was Schumacher's at the wheel. See what they did there.
Trying to make a joke that hasn't been relevant for about, what, a decade?
Well, since he's been in a coma, probably.
Oh, man.
So that's a slippery slope. Shouldn't go down there.
Hashtag stay strong, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Stoke. Stoke. Boxing Day.
At home.
Can't wait. No, I'm not going to actually be there. My missus is working Christmas Day, so our Christmas Day is Boxing Day. So,
We've got family round Boxing Day. Everybody's coming around to ours, so I've already kind of planted seeds around the game being on, and that I will be watching it in some format, whether it's upstairs in the living room or on my iPad. I have a feeling that we played against Stoke a few years back on Boxing Day and we won. It might have been Gary Monk or maybe Pep.
Actually saw Pep in the Roost the other night. That Stoke game, it wasn't the Omar Bogle screamer against Gary Rowett, was it? Was that Boxing Day?
That is correct. Yes, and I think I was at the in-laws' house that Boxing Day. We were around there at that point. So yeah, a repeat of that would be nice.
I mean, it's never worth looking too far ahead. So that, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with that Plymouth game, and it can completely change how we think about a game, feel about a game when we're looking forward to it. So you just get some, you don't know how they're going to play even with new management, do you? So
no, I mean, he's going to have to try and implement that style of play with that Stoke team. They've got fairly decent players, but you know, he has a specific way of playing, and he's going to be tasked with probably trying to do that with them. I'll tell you what I will say without I think if we beat Plymouth, there'll be a fair amount of confidence there to go into that Stoke game and probably get some of it from them from that as well. So I think between the two, we can probably walk away with 4 points from those. Now, it might tilt one way, it might tilt the other. But yeah, I think between the two, a few goals and 4 points from those two festive games.
That 4 points out of the two would give a nice run into, is it Leeds then on New Year's Day?
We've got Bristol City.
And Bristol City before
then,
that.
Then Leeds, yeah.
Which when is Bristol City? That's squeezed in.
I don't know.
I don't know
either. Just having a drink there. 29th. 29th at home, yeah.
So that's
a
very, very condensed games there.
Yeah, I think there might be some squad changes in and around that then as well, just to keep people fresh. Yeah. So go on, quick, just gamble on Stoke predictions.
Score draw.
Yeah.
What score?
1-1.
Vegan.
Yeah, so I thought we were agreeing on that. No, I'm going to go with the same. I think something like 1-1.
I think I might go 2-0 Blues. I'm so full of confidence after last night. It's ridiculous.
You should put them all on as bets.
Do you know what?
Still intoxicated.
quite possibly.
Not from last night.
Maybe. Well, or from the Christmas party at the weekend, potentially. Right. Everyone, thank you very much for listening this year. We will be back.
Next year.
That sounds like it's ages away, doesn't it?
Probably one in, probably not, but you never. We won't commit to it.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see if we can find a point where all three of us are pissed and over the new year.
That's
and do
actually
another,
a really good
do
idea.
Do another drunk version.
Or maybe a disastrous idea that we could think about doing something like that.
I'm away over the Christmas period, but we'll see what we can do. See if we can squeeze one in, maybe, potentially.
Anyway.
But Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back at some point. And until next time, not the fucking Blues. Merry Christmas.
And keep right on.
Keep right on. You stole my keep right on. I'll let you have it. I'll let you do it first for Christmas. How's that?
There we go. Thanks. I've taken it anyway. See ya.
Worst outro ever.
That was quite funny.